here, back on the hunt with Supernatural Season 7, Episode 12, Time After Time. My name's Chris Barrows.
And my name's Dan Cummins. Welcome back to the best Supernatural podcast on the air. Chris, we have a good episode to cover this week. But before we get to that, I'm realizing now that you said Episode 12. There's 23 episodes in the season, if I'm not mistaken. That technically means that we are halfway through Season 7. Quick gut check. How are you feeling about the season? And is it what you expected it to be? Obviously, this is a rewatch podcast. You have seen these episodes probably multiple times now. Where are we at? How are you feeling about Season 7 so far?
Great question. I think first and foremost, I'm very much actually enjoying the season as a whole. But there is an imbalance of what I'm enjoying versus what I'm not enjoying as much. And what I mean to say by that is when we're not Leviathan heavy, I'm finding myself very much enjoying the episodes, even though they may not be pushing the main plot along. And again, we've used the word subplot. We've used filler. Filler has been is a word that I know I've heard we've heard all the time. Call it subplot, right? Just call it, sure. You can call it subplot episodes. I don't care what the word is. The fact of the matter is stories that are not pushing the seasonal theme, if I will, have been real gems for me in this season. And that's kind of where I stand. It's not to say I haven't liked Leviathan episodes, but on a consistent basis, I'm enjoying the ones that are not Leviathan based more, with the exception, like I said, of kind of the criticisms we had about maybe one or two episodes. But overall, yeah, I'm overall surprised to an extent. But I think much like the previous season, there's some really good gems in here that you could easily miss if you decide to skip this season.
Yeah, I worry about the second half of this season, Chris, because we've already said goodbye to two key characters, Castiel and Bobby. You could actually argue a third, the Impala, right? We've said goodbye to three critical elements of the show and fan favorites of that as well. I'm kind of worried about the second half of season 7. The plus is that we haven't gotten much dick yet, Chris. A lot more dick in this second half, so I'm looking forward to that. But I'm hesitant. I've had a good time so far. I agree with you. Whenever the Leviathans are just mentioned and not really the center of the episodes, I have a good time. Second half, though, it's going to be pretty Leviathan heavy. So I'm not sure where I'm at, to be totally honest. But today, Chris, we have a great episode. There's no Leviathans in it. There's mention of Leviathan to make sure that we're still on track, right? Reminded of what the season is about. But this one is a fun one. And it's an episode I certainly remembered from my last rewatch. It sticks out among the bunch.
Yeah, this one, Time After Time, aired January 13th, 2012. I believe it's the first episode that aired in 2012. Philip Segarra is back up with an episode for us, an 8.8 on IMDb. And I will point out the mention of the Leviathans in this one is really well used. We'll get to it, but you mentioned, and it just goes to show that the Leviathans honestly could have been, and I'll just say this now based on your question, I think more interesting as a background character, almost assisting a larger villain, because I think they play a good role when they do that. But I'm not going to go down that path right now. We're going to talk instead about Kronos and the year 1944, because we've got time travel in this one, Dan. And to no surprise, it is not Sam who does the time traveling. No surprise whatsoever.
Why does Dean get all the fun? I mean, coming up soon, Chris, Dean is also going to have a kid with an Amazonian. I mean, why can't Sam have some fun? I get it. His head is all kind of scrambled, but the writers don't do a very good job of reminding us of that. Like, I forget that Sam is even seeing things because they just haven't done anything with that storyline in a while. I feel bad for Sam, man. Like, and I meant to ask you this, Chris. If we reverse the roles, would it work for Sam? Because I think it would. I don't see anything about this episode that, immediately strikes me as this had to be Dean to work. I think Sam could have easily taken this on, possibly even been better.
I think he would have been better, actually. I'll go that far, because Sam is more of a detective,
right,
than Dean. Dean's fanboying for most of this episode.
Yeah.
So I think, to that point, Dean stands out. I don't think Sam would have stood out outside of maybe the hair. I feel like the hair probably would have been the largest problem for Sam, just because it would not have fit.
I'll give you that.
That's what, but I think when you take personality, yeah, when you put Sam in those shoes, meeting, you know, an infamous person from history, I think he would have fit in a lot better in that moment. But let's get to how we even get there in the first place. So Kronos is the god of time, Dan, and Kronos is, by some definitions, the personification of time rather than a god associated with time, which is kind of like what it is in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some cool capabilities, but he doesn't have the power that he once had. It kind of falls into that category of these people used to be able to do whatever they wanted. They don't get to do that anymore. So limited power, they've got to do things through different ways than maybe were the ideal in the time when they were well-known, respected. Abilities include invincibility, immortality, super strength. Okay, we've seen that before. Chronokinesis, which is the power to control time and disrupt the flow of it, causing objects that measure time to stop permanently, kind of like Reapers. They could stop Reapers right in their tracks, which is really cool. Time travel can jump around through time, but he can also take people with him. Now, he can also be ripped away whenever he's summoned, which is a really fascinating aspect that becomes a critical plot point. Foresight can see the future, and then life force absorption. This is another critical plot piece. Can absorb the life force of mortals and use it to power up, which is what he's doing in this episode. And Kronos is a tragic character because everything he's doing really is just to get back home to someone who ultimately he's fallen in love with. So when you think about this story, I'm not saying I feel bad for him at the end because he's killing people, but there's that aspect that I think makes him a little unique compared to our everyday monster that we might deal with. And we have some of these that I think I felt more bad for. I feel less bad for this particular quote unquote god, right? But it is an interesting twist whenever that happens.
Yeah, it's some sympathy for this guy, right? Because he had a really bad past, but he ended up finding someone to care about. And you could say he had good intentions towards the end, but that doesn't erase what he had done previously, which was basically, like you said, take people, sacrifice them for his own joy to jump all over time. I mean, it's a larger than life character, Chris. And I want to say generally I enjoyed Kronos. It's another demigod-esque character, though. And this is my only issue, and I know you have this issue as well, which is that this show is supposed to be about hunting monsters. A lot of demigods in this season, Chris. I kind of wish we got back to those monster roots. It's cool to see Dean go back in time and meet, like, I don't know if we'd call him one of his heroes, Chris. I think it's cool that he gets to meet a hunter from the past. But yeah, that's my only gripe with this. I think Kronos is fine. I just prefer monsters over demigods because, again, we talk about watering down characters, Chris. With this kill, we're, again, watering down those demigods just a step. And that's a shame because I personally love the demigods from, I think it was season 5, that episode where Lucifer just wipes them out. Regardless, though, I think it's a fun monster. And we don't see Kronos again, as far as I'm concerned, right, Chris? This is a one-time appearance, as far as you know.
Yes, I believe so. And I mean, what it takes to take this guy out is an olive tree branch covered in blood. So not as simple as, you know, the standard monster in that way.
Right.
And there's a sort of a Bobby-like character in this one that we're going to talk about who I really liked.
Yes.
Who seems to be able to get what's needed. So, you know, makes you miss Bobby even more when you think about that, down to the idiots line, you know. So But let's break into the plot of this one, because this one starts with Sheriff Mills, actually, which is always great to see Sheriff Mills calling about a case in Canton, Ohio. And basically the witness saw red energy hit a victim and they aged to death. So Dean taps into local feeds. And I love this because he said, oh, Frank taught me this.
Yeah.
And Sam's like, wait, what? Because it's such a Sam thing to do, right? You know, that's something Sam would do. And it's great that Dean did it. I love that moment. It's such a great character moment for Dean and for Sam to have that reaction that he does.
Yeah, you teased that a few weeks ago, Chris, when we covered that episode. And yeah, it finally pays off in this one. Really funny indeed. Eventually, they figure out, and we'll just get past some of the witnesses. They find out that this guy has been doing this for a while, and they have witnesses from decades ago that recognize the man that's still running around, right? So obviously, something weird is going on. They do enough digging. They find this guy, and Dean does something really reckless, Chris, and kind of out of character. They're outside this guy's house, and they decide to split up, and Dean just rushes this guy. He sees Kronos taking the energy. He sees the red light. Dean just kind of wings it, Chris, jumps right on the guy and ends up back in time on a street in 1944. A really reckless move by Dean, and one that I thought, you know, you could have thought that out a little bit more. You don't really know what you're dealing with here. Maybe jumping on this guy wasn't the best move. You know, maybe you take a minute and maybe even do it as a pair, right? Because as soon as you split up Sam and Dean, we've talked about this, their power goes way down. If the two of them are 100, you're now dealing with 50% power. So not the best game plan, I'll say, Chris, especially for a demigod.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, we do have this moment, though, that I love, which is Dean kind of landing hard, looking around and seeing he's not in, you know, he's not in Kansas anymore. Right. And he's in 1944. Now, he obviously is able to do the map on this, but he's arrested pretty much immediately, and the cops think he's a German spy. And he's getting interrogated in this scene, and I love it because it's a good cop, bad cop kind of thing happening, right? And mm-hmm. And I would argue the good cop's not that. The bad cop, arguably, the first one, because then Elliot Ness comes in. Now, Dean does not know this is Elliot Ness. Elliot Ness, famous in history. There's movies around this guy. I mean, he's quoted many times, not legit quotes, obviously. Elliot Ness kind of points out to him, because Elliot Ness is a little confused by Dean's fandom, I think we can call it, right?
Right.
But when Elliot comes in, he believes Dean immediately, and Dean does the map, and he's a hunter. I go back to something you've said before, which is I love hunter lore. So to learn that Elliot Ness was a hunter, super cool to me. I think that's awesome. And that's one thing that I think this episode did really well, which is added to hunter lore. We don't get that all the time. This episode does that. So A+ for that piece. And knowing that, we end up jumping back on the show, back to the present. But if we may, let's stay with Dean just for the simplification of this discussion.
Sure.
So Ness basically recognizes that they're both hunters, and they start working the case together. And that is really cool to me. Dean geeking out. But to your point, Sam would have been better at the actual detective work. And that's kind of what that's what you were basically asking about before. And I really believe that. But Dean is the one. Dean gets to enjoy some time in 1944. Call it enjoy, but he doesn't know what he's going to be able to get back in this episode. So that's actually the other part, is because he's got to be able to jump back to the future. To do that, he needs, you know, this demigod, and there's no guarantee of even making him jump back to where he wants to. So it's kind of a one in a million shot that, let's face it, we're fans of a show. We know the one in a million shot's going to somehow work out. You know, there's no fear that it won't. Which maybe takes away a little bit, like, because the show doesn't do two-parters too often. I almost wish it was a show that did two-parters just so I could feel like, oh, maybe he won't make it back in this episode. But I never doubted it.
I'm nodding my head as you're talking, Chris, because that's my only issue with this episode, which is that there's no urgency. You'll remember back in season six, they went and found Samuel Colt in the Wild West. Another fantastic episode. I actually wonder if that was a Philip Segrecha episode. I have to wonder if he also took that one on. Maybe you can look that up as I reply to your comment there. The only issue I have with this episode, Chris, is that, yeah, he should be worried about getting back. Sam, I think, would have taken this more seriously, Chris. And it was funny at first to see Dean geek out about this guy. And that quickly got old for me, I'm afraid. All of the quips, all of the jokes, all of the, you know, childlike behavior for me got old after the second or third joke. I wish that he had taken it seriously. I wish it was more of a noir movie type of feel. Like if Dean had taken it seriously and it felt like a movie of that era, I think I would have enjoyed it just a little bit more. That's my only gripe with this one.
By the way, to answer your question, Frontierland, which we covered, God, now that's, you know, 15 episodes ago or so, but Guy Norman Bee was the director of that one.
Okay, another fantastic director. Yeah, not surprised there, Chris. Two great episodes, but same problem, right? No urgency. Like, if Dean should be very worried that he can't get home and maybe spend more time being serious and less time trying to be funny. That's my only complaint.
Right, and I do not disagree with that whatsoever, because what we're dealing with is they're going first trying to find these initials belonging to Lester Young, who's a local bookie. And they track this guy down and they do that good cop, bad cop thing. And Dean gets to be bad cop. I think he enjoys it quite a bit, to your point, maybe too much. And then ultimately, when it comes down to it, there's a bunch of fun scenes that happen here, because they got to, one, get Dean dressed up for the era, which is cool. We end up meeting a phenomenal character. And that is, Ezra, I believe, Ezra Moore. And so Ezra is the one who sets Dean up with the suit and the fedora. And Ezra is the one who also is very Bobby-like. And Ezra's going to eventually give them a 1,000-year-old olive branch soaked in blood. So Ezra's got resources, you know? Everyone needs their Bobby. Which I want to point out, I love that about this episode in a big way. Because I didn't think about it until after, but it makes you think about just how much they're missing. Mm. They don't have that person anymore. And that person's critical to Dean even getting back to Sam. So I don't know if that was the intention or just kind of, oh, let's have some fun with it. But I think it works really well, because ultimately that's important. The other neat thing about this is Dean's train of thought. And I do want to say, per your complaint, I agree. I don't want to call it a complaint. It's a criticism, and it's a rightful one. But if we look at it, Dean is smart enough to think, hey, Sam and I were staying in this house. It's still here. So he does go, has a really poor excuse to investigate the house, but gets into the house and is able to make a notch on the wood and give Sam information in the future. So to me, he does realize it to some level, but I don't know. Is it called his character? But yes, I agree. Would have loved it was more about noir value. What did you think, by the way? I did want to ask you. Ness tells this story of how he became a hunter. And I thought it was pretty cool that it wasn't like a loss in his life. Yeah. But it was just the fact that vampires showed up in Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, I know very little about Ness in real life, Chris, but what I was able to gather was that he worked on the Al Capone case. Mm-hmm. What many people would call him straight-laced. He was very much Boy Scout, Captain America, like willing to do everything for his country despite the risk, right? So I think this story fits, and I think it's a good one. Yeah, you're right. He didn't necessarily lose anybody, but he did see his country being attacked by a force that he felt like he could stand up to. And I thought it was really interesting. I actually wish that scene played out a little bit longer. I wish he had gotten more time to actually, you know, maybe even show that through visuals, Chris. I think it would have been a cool flashback to actually see him fighting a vampire. I think that would have been really sweet, actually. But yeah, I thought it was really cool. I like Ness as a character. I really do. Again, I wish I had seen more of a actual hunt between them. Like, if Dean wasn't fucking around making jokes, it could have been like a really badass Men in Black type of feel to it, right? With two guys that are the baddest of their eras hunting the God of Time. I mean, that's what I wanted, Chris. And I feel like maybe my expectations were too high for that. But man, Ness really fit that part. Like, he really was the straight man to Jensen's, comedic relief. I just don't feel like we needed that relief. You know, it would have been cool.
Yeah. And I don't disagree. I think in the long run, we do get what we get with this episode, and it's still a solid episode. I mean, the IMDb rating of 8.8, I don't disagree with. I think it's worthy.
Yep.
Let's go back to the future just a little bit. And that is pretty easy to summarize before we jump back to kind of that conclusion of this episode. Sam essentially does the math, but we can call this guy here, but we have to call him at the exact moment in history. Right? Now, that's the exact moment in time. It's like to the second, right? Like, how the hell are you going to do that? And so doing the math on this, getting what he needs to get done, Sam's going to get the job done on his end if he's given what he needs. He really just goes and he goes to take this nap, and he knows where, and this is Dean knowing his brother, he knows where they're sleeping. So knowing even the way his brother might just decide to sleep and lay on the floor was enough to get him back, because that's where he's able to put that notch in. And then he sees it and says, wait a minute, I know what's where he's going to, you know, be. I know when and how we have to do this. And boom, we're able to get that to happen. Because there's a great fight with Ness and Dean and the monster. It's really enjoyable. And one of the parts that I thought was really cool in this episode, and I don't want to, I kind of skipped it, was they end up going back and visiting, and I guess it's a nursing home, the woman who he was in love with. This demigod, this Kronos, was in love with this woman. And that's how they get the little final bits of detail, right? They have this idea of are able to put all that together thanks to that plus Dean. And then again, it all comes together when there's a great moment at the end here. Ness tosses Dean the stake and he catches it and is able to bring it through. And so they still are able to take this guy out, which is, you know, why we're not going to see him again. But it's a nice moment. It's just a lot of, look, say what it is, because Supernatural does this all the time, so I can't really nitpick on it, right? But a lot of things have to go perfectly, and they do. And that's just what it is. So, you know, it's not a show that surprises us anymore, though. So I think, you know, we're kind of okay with that at this point. But those are the little things that, you know, I think if it was, say, an HBO show or something else, where just maybe it would have been a little bit harder, right? We're talking a CW show versus an HBO or something else, right? So I think that plays into it.
It's a good point. Yeah, the heroes have to win at the end of the day, right? But I like to watch them struggle, Chris. And on Sam's part, you know, you mentioned earlier in the episode that, you know, was the intention to make it obvious that they needed Bobby? I think it was, because you mentioned Ezra on Dean's side, but you forgot to mention Sheriff Mills on Sam's side. Now, Sheriff Mills brings in, I think she says, like 24 boxes of Bobby's old stuff from the garage that he was having. So again, without Bobby, Sam wouldn't have gotten as far as he did with his investigation. So I think the absence of Bobby is going to be something we talk about probably every week, Chris. I know next week we're definitely going to cover it because we are covering an episode that, well, I'll just say it clues in something about Bobby. But yeah, listen, I think personally, Chris, I would have liked to see Sam in the role of detective and Dean in the role of, what do we call him, rescuer. I think it would have worked just as well, because, man, Sam deserves some fun, doesn't he? Let's give him some fun episodes instead of just messing up his head all the time. That's something we can talk about as the season goes on. Sam's about to enter a world of hurt, so we're going to be talking about him a whole lot more. But yeah, it was cool to see Dean dress up in an era appropriate outfit. I'm sure Jensen had a lot of fun with that one. There's some fun trivia here that we're going to get to in just a second, Chris, but 8.8, this is an episode that I'm going to say right here, if you haven't rewatched this one in a while, I think it's worth checking out. At the very least, there is a lot of fun references, and we're going to get into that list now. But to see Dean in that world, that's something that we haven't seen before. And like you said, we're adding to Hunter lore. We're adding to monster lore. It's a demigod, like I said. But there's a lot of new things in this episode. And I think as long as they keep it fresh, Chris, we can ignore the Leviathans for just a little bit longer.
Yeah, and look, it's important to note that that as Kronos is dying, he says, "I see your future," essentially. Yeah. And he basically says, "It's covered in thick black ooze. It's everywhere. There, everywhere." Which is a great reminder of Leviathan's art's creepiest and scariest when you kind of have no clue where they are, right?
Yes.
And that when you know where they are, I think they become less interesting. Agreed. Which is, I think, partially why we think about it right now the way that we do. Mm-hmm. But let's talk trivia. Title of the episode might refer to Time After Time, 1979, in which H.G. Wells time travels from 1893 to 1979. Now, you mentioned Elliot Ness. He worked with the Bureau of Prohibition in Chicago, took down Al Capone. Untouchables is a fantastic film. I love that movie, so I tell people to check that out all the time. The 1970s film Untouchables is based on this story. It stars Costner, Robert De Niro, and Sean Connery. If you don't, do you really need much of a reason after that? The names I just said? Come on. There you go.
I've never seen it, Chris, but now I have incentive to check it out.
Yeah, you got to see it. It's really good. Linda Darlow, who plays Ezra Moore, basically will show up again, it sounds like, in season 12, episode 20, as a demon borrower witch, which I would have loved to see her as Ezra again. Quite frankly, I don't know how that would have happened, but thought great character. And Back to the Future, Dan, I assume you've seen Back to the Future, though.
Right? I have. Yep.
Okay, good, good. I would have been concerned if you hadn't. that letter, you know, that Dean sends back to Sam in this episode definitely has that vibe of, hey, by the way, you know, because it just brings you back to, you know, Marty McFly and just all that vibe of how do you communicate with the future, right? So
right.
I did love that. Misha, by the way, Misha Collins played Elliot Ness in the show Timeless in 2016, where characters also travel back in time. Guess what? It's created by Eric Kripke. And Jim Beaver, Bobby, also was in the series. So some other connections to Elliot Ness. But look, overall, great episode. Really liked it. Like I said, those small criticisms aside, I feel like we're pointing them out, but it's in the long run, we also know the show we're watching. So we're not surprised by that. It's to your point, this could have been higher had I felt like Dean might not make it back, but this is not the show where we're going to worry about that one-off episode. They're always going to make it back, it feels like. So
exactly. Yeah. And you know what, Chris, season 7 and beyond, I have to change my mindset to understand that this is not the Supernatural of Ode. The best I can hope for, I think, at this point is to have some fun. We're always going to be having fun with this show. And this episode, you certainly have that. Might not be critically great moving forward. And might not even have our favorite characters moving forward. But as long as I'm having fun, I still want to keep watching the show. And an episode like this certainly was a lot of fun.
And there are some great characters coming as we go along in this show. I mean, we're about 20 to 25 episodes in that range away from hitting the halfway point.
Wow.
For the show, period. Yeah. Like the show overall, 327 episodes. So it's crazy how much we've watched. We have enjoyed watching the conversation on Reddit that Dan has been having. So make sure you come say hi to us there, Back of the Hunt Pod there, Fred's Twitter, X, all those places. So make sure you come say hello to us and join in the conversation. Certainly, we love to hear from you. But with that, Dan, I think it's fair to say that is it for this week. But we'll be back because, after all,
we've got work to do.
Thank you.